you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Marilyn Masaze, good evening to you and welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm ever so well. Thank you very much, Marilyn, for taking our call and agreeing to talk to us tonight. So I was curious, is it Bloom Merkel Investments? Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Talk to us about, first and foremost, your thoughts. I want to read something to you, and then I'd like to hear what you think of this. This is a quote that we are using today as a thought for today, and it's a quote that is referring to what was said by Jeff Bezos. So I'm going to read it to you verbatim, and then you tell me what you think. All right.
Okay.
All right. It reads, one of the huge mistakes people make is that they try to force an interest on themselves. You don't choose your passions. Your passions choose you. That's Jeff Bezos. What do you think of that, Marilyn?
I think it's true.
Okay.
I think you don't choose your passion.
Yeah.
Yes, it's. I think a passion is something that you're born with. Maybe mm-hmm. That's my thinking.
Okay,
because you can study, let's say mathematics today, and then tomorrow you're doing a completely different job. That means that was your passion. You decided to do mathematics, but it wasn't your passion.
I
think yes.
Okay. Okay, okay. So is that what happened with you? Tell us about your passions. Tell us about you. When we speak of Marilyn Masaze, who is this Marilyn? How did you discover your passions? And then when we're talking about Bloom Merkel Investments, how did that come about? First, talk to us about you.
Okay. How I discovered my passion, honestly, I don't know. I just know that I grew up wanting to be some businesswoman of sort.
Okay.
I would say I was a person, I was a child who'd always think of what to do to earn extra money.
Okay.
Before I discovered that my passion is really being an entrepreneur.
Okay.
So I'd always think, what should I do to get extra money? What mm-hmm. should I do? But when I was in high school, honestly, I wanted to be an accountant.
Okay.
I wanted to be an accountant so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, it didn't happen. I ended up doing what was my passion. I then realized this is my passion.
Yeah. So when we speak of Marilyn Masaze, how old are you now? And when did you start with your Bloom Merkel Investments?
I'm 27, turning 28 on the 23rd of February.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
so
So
Bloom Merkel was registered in 2020, actually.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Yes, with some business partner that I wouldn't want to disclose the name.
Not a problem.
So it really started. It's not something that I'd planned. They just thought of an idea of starting a company, and they included me as a shareholder and a director, but really I didn't think of going far with it like this. But then as time went on, I was in the corporate world. I worked in media first.
Right.
Then I went into a different industry as a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
So me, loving money more than my life, I decided that 9 to 5, the 8 to 5 p.m. job isn't really paying me that much.
Okay.
And I decided I can do something for myself. I can do something on my own how much I want to earn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really how it started. I didn't start not a very long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I think, last year towards the end of it. That's when I got serious with it. That's when I started operating full-time years.
So you walked away from media. What exactly were you doing in media?
Oh, in media, I was a sales rep.
Okay.
Selling advertising space in the newspaper and for the radio.
All right.
Yes.
All right. All right.
And then I went into the branding industry.
Okay.
After that.
Okay.
Yes.
And how much time did you spend selling advertising for the newspapers?
That was 2.5 years.
Okay. And then you went to branding.
And then I went into branding, yes.
Okay. And how much time did you spend in branding?
It was 6 months.
Okay. Okay. And after that?
And then after that, that's when I resigned and started to pursue my own stuff.
Okay. Okay. And when you say your own stuff, you're referring to Blue Miracle Investments?
Yes.
Okay.
That's Blue Miracle Investments.
So what does Blue Miracle Investments do? What kind of investments are we talking about here?
Okay, so investment is a broad word.
Indeed,
eh?
Indeed.
It's anything to do with just business, any business that you can think of.
Mm.
But for now, I'm focusing on branding as a whole.
Okay.
That's your corporate gift, your corporate wear, your promotional materials, your display banners, and etc.
Okay. Okay, and how well is that working for you?
I think so far so good. I can't complain.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I'd already done, and being a salesperson ever since I graduated, I've only worked as a salesperson. So it's something that is interesting for me,
and
having to make the rules on my own.
That's a good thought.
To set my goals, my standards, my pricing, without having someone asking me, you need to do this, you need to do this, doing what I feel is right for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. And where is your business based?
Okay. So for now, we're operating from Milton Park. It's in Harare.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So how big is your staff complement?
For now, it's not big.
Okay.
It's really, really, really very small. It's still very small.
Okay.
Because it's something that we are still starting.
Yeah.
We can't really afford to be taking a lot of people or recruiting a lot of people before we are really stable.
Yeah. So you're talking about So what makes your business stand out when you look at all other companies that are doing the very same thing that you're doing? What would make your business stand out?
So the branding industry is really tight competition.
Okay.
You might not really find a difference or a uniqueness amongst the branding companies. But what makes one stand out is, personally, I would say the way you handle clients, because this is a client-based business. You really need to be pleasing your clients.
Yeah.
For you to have a clientele base that is very strong.
Right.
So I'd say the way you handle your clients, how you respond to the market changes, and of course the pricing strategy, because it's all about competition, is we are all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's just how you relate with your clients and your pricing strategy.
So one of the things that people tend to jump for, which I notice you did not, is the quality of work. Do you find that there is standard good quality of work across the industry and there is no room, for example, for improvement where you would make that your edge?
Okay, I would say there are certain products that people would provide different qualities
on. Mm.
But at the end of the day, most of the clients know what they want.
Okay.
You'd see that if you get an RFQ, it's so specific to say we want a cotton round neck T-shirt with this grammage and so on and so on.
Right,
so
right.
If really you're offering a different thing, you are open to the client.
Okay.
There are two options. This one is costing this much because of the quality. This one is costing this much because of the quality. So I wouldn't say really quality is something that would say want to improve in the industry, because there are things that are of high quality and of low quality, but only your pricing and the type of a client you're dealing with will then determine which you're offering to the client. Yes.
So you said the Blue Miracle Investments was started by some other guys and they invited you to join in, correct?
No, it was actually one person, a long-time friend.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and then they just included me as a shareholder. But like I said, when you started, I didn't have the passion, I would say, maybe. Or not that I didn't have the passion, but that time I didn't have the thought of running my own company and doing things on my own. I was so used to being in the office.
Right, right. Yes. So this person, what was their idea, the one who invited you to join in? How did the idea of starting this business come for that person?
So for this person, I'd say it's been, he had graduated from school.
Yeah.
From college, I mean. And then I think he spent like two to three years.
Yeah.
At home, not working, not getting a job or anything. So, and then at a later stage, he got employed as someone's PA.
Yeah.
Not the right job for their degree.
Okay.
So, with time working for that person, he realized some things, and just like I did, he realized he could do some things on his own and even do.
Mm.
That's how he came up with the idea of starting their own thing.
Okay. Okay. And how long was it before they invited you to join?
I wouldn't say they invited me to join per se, because when he registered, he told me about the idea and stuff.
Okay.
And then he included me as the shareholder. But at that moment, really, I didn't have any thought or any idea to start working with them. I just said I'll support you when you need my support. But I really was so far away. I was so distant.
Okay. Okay. And what ignited your passion? Now you're invested in it. What brought you to be fully on board?
Like I said, I love money more than I love my life.
Okay, that's it?
Yes, I love money more than I love my life.
Okay.
And if, honestly, what I was, the amount of salaries or wages that I was getting and my expenses, it really wasn't matching.
My goodness. Okay.
I would say it was a hand-to-mouth type of a thing.
Yeah.
So I thought, no, I can do better than this.
Yeah.
I am capable of doing this. I can do this. Because even my friends always say you can sell anything.
Right,
just
right.
I just can't sell a human being, but everything else I can
do. Of course.
Because the day if people are selling drinks, I can go for that.
Yeah.
If tomorrow it's this that is not in the market, I can go for that.
Right,
so I just
decided
I can do this.
Yeah.
Because I really have the sales
power. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I suppose for business, your money has to be one of your key driving points, I suppose. I mean, if you're not going to be...
If you're content with what you have, you won't really take the
Right. I hear you. Okay. But the way in which you said it... Okay. So there's nothing else? I mean, if money were not coming, does it mean you would stop doing the work that you do? If there was not money, if there was too much competition and it's not giving you the desired amount of money?
It's not really centered on money only. Of course, money is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
But I would say, I don't know how to put it across. But I'm someone who's so open to their opinion that.
Yeah.
So then if you're in an organization where your opinions are not respected or they don't listen to what you say, and being someone like me, I'm someone who's always thinking of something new of what to do, how to do it. But then if you feel like you're not really expressing and you're not being heard like
that,
you feel you can do better if we go this way.
Mm.
That's the other thing that made me start my own thing. That's why I say, I mentioned, it's doing something without being told, do it this way,
this is wrong,
we can't do this because we won't be able to do this if we do this. So that's the other thing. So besides money,
absolutely. So every business, I understand, has to have some seed funding. Where did you get your money? How did you raise funding for your business?
Honestly speaking,
yeah,
I didn't raise any funding. I would say this business is not, okay, the other side of it is not too capital intensive.
Okay.
Yes, because mostly the nature of branding business, you need to get payment before delivering
order. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's just how I managed to get through, to get up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are some clients who don't believe in payments first before
delivery. Yeah.
But in most cases, that should be the case. So I would say the business funded itself.
Yeah. So in the branding industry, surely you need some equipment, right? And you do have some overheads of an ilk. That equipment, the overheads like electricity, give an example, or the raw materials, whatever it is, the ink and all the things you might need for your branding, the machines and so forth. Where did you get the money for those?
So now that is going to be on a larger scale. So right now I haven't purchased any equipment as yet.
Okay.
I'm still focusing more on the corporate gifts and corporate way to say, because the major supplier for these things offers everything.
Right. Oh, okay.
So, yes, you get your things fully done, fully branded to what you want. So for now, I haven't purchased any equipments.
Okay.
But in the near future, it's their necessity, because there are some things that you can't order fully done.
Okay.
Especially in the signage side. So it's things that are in the plans for the long run.
So tell me the value chain. How does it begin from placing an order to receiving your order? All the process to and from, back and forth. Just lay it bare for us. How does that work?
Okay, so first things first is obviously the client side.
Right.
We get purchase orders from the clients, mm-hmm. Or confirmations or via emails, but mostly in this, we do deal with purchase orders. After getting purchase orders, then I then place my order with my supplier.
Okay.
With the specifications of clients.
Right.
I place an order, and then we provide clients with what we call visuals,
mm-hmm.
to show them this is how your product is going to look like. If they have any changes they want to make, then changes are made, then they approve, then mm-hmm. production goes on, and then we get things from supplier, and then we supply to our clients.
All right. Is that a local supplier that you're working with?
Actually, the supplier is from South Africa.
Okay. And in your turnaround time, if you're in Zim, you're in Harare.
It's not really long.
Okay.
It's not really long.
Okay.
In 5 days, we would have done everything.
Okay.
Yes, including delivering to client. Yes.
Wow.
If things are straightforward like that, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that's a very good turnaround time, especially if it's international
Just if the client know what they want, you know, we want this on this position in this color, using this branding type, then we don't really take long. But then if client is making a lot of changes, that's when maybe we can delay.
Yeah.
But normally, if client is just straight to point, they know what they want, in 5 days, everything will be done.
So your South African supplier, are you having many suppliers in case this one supplier does not come through? Or do you deal with just one?
So I think I have registered with 3-4 suppliers.
Yeah.
Yes, but just this one is the major supplier. It's very rare for you not to find what you want with that supplier. It's the major supplier, I would say, maybe worldwide.
Okay.
Or maybe in Africa, to say yes.
Oh.
It's the major supplier. Yes.
Okay. And now in terms of
it's very rare not to find what you're looking for with that supplier. But of course, you have extra supplies in case you don't find what you want specifically from them. Yes.
Yeah. In terms of your customer base, how do you build your customer base?
Okay, so being a salesperson for close to 4 years?
Okay.
I had my contacts from way back from media and then into the branding industry.
Okay.
So the same people I dealt with in the media industry, I would say it's just the same people that I'm dealing with, that you'd be dealing with in the branding industry. Because in media, would speak with your marketing managers or your procurement, if it's NGOs.
Mm.
Those are the people who decide on advertising. So your corporate gifts, your corporate way, they are for marketing managers.
Yeah.
So it's those same people, again, who are making those decisions.
Right, right.
So I just used my contacts that I had. And, of course, calling new clients, new potential clients, but most of them are just people that I worked with from India to the last years.
So are they all based in Zimbabwe, or in particularly in Harare, or are they spread all over Zim and perhaps around in other countries around?
I don't have any international clients, but in Zimbabwe, you'd find some out of Harare.
Okay.
But normally, I personally love focusing on those in Harare where I am, because it's not too difficult.
Yeah.
You can just go and meet with them and convince them all
to
work with you. But of course, we don't neglect those out of Harare.
Yeah.
If they want something, we can always make a way to service them.
Okay. Okay. I've always heard people saying starting your own business takes more time out of your day than would be the 9 to 5. You might spend a lot of time at work from 9 to 5, but being a business owner, you spend more time out there as opposed to your family. How about you? How does your being an entrepreneur affect your personal life and your family life?
I think I would say it hasn't really affected my personal life that much. Why? Because it's not really something new to me, if you get my point.
Okay.
It's something that I've been always doing. It's the sales, because most of it is the sales part.
Okay.
So it's something that I'd been doing already, and with the knowledge of branding, or since I'd been working in the branding industry, it's not something new to me. It's something that I'd been always doing.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's really taking much of my social time, because it's just my everyday job that I've been doing.
Okay.
Just communicating with those same clients, doing those same things, because I know how of the branding industry already.
Yeah.
So it's not really new.
Okay.
Hence, it's not overwhelming me.
And then you hear business people say sometimes you get demotivated, and which begs the question for us, what motivates you when you have those down days, when things are just not going well? What motivates you?
What motivates me really is knowing that I need to make it.
Yeah.
I have to be successful. I can't afford to be demotivated, because the moment I'm lazing around saying this is not working, then it means I need to start looking for a job. So I can't afford to be doing that. Can't afford to be knocking on someone else's door again looking for a job. So I have to make it work.
And then how do you stay innovative? How do you generate new ideas?
So I personally, really, I just do work with market trends.
Oh, okay.
What's really enticing clients?
Yeah.
What are they looking for of late? What is exciting them, or how are they doing the things that you need to be bringing this thing so that it's valuable to them? Because they're doing this, they would need this.
Right.
So I really work with how, I would say, maybe client behaviors.
Okay.
What they're doing in their organizations, how they're doing their things, their campaigns and stuff. Then that would give you an idea to say, I'm proposing this to the client. I'm sure they'll love it because of this certain thing that they're pushing. Yes.
So when you say market trends, how do you determine what a trend is now? Because you find that some people use this in a particular industry. They have this trend there. How do you make those? How do you determine those trends? Do you have a research wing in your business? How do you establish those trends?
I think I would say I use calendars.
All right.
Not the national calendar only, but maybe a company's calendar. I would make sure one is the national calendar, and then there is your UN calendar, and then there are some days that people consider or do celebrate or commemorate. So it's those days, they really give you ideas. You'd know. Maybe, for example, from January to February, people are celebrating this. For example, in March, it's Women's Month. So anything to do with women,
yeah,
it's going to be trending that month.
Right.
So
right.
if you are to be proposing something to a client to say this is going, you're giving away to all women.
Right.
In celebration of women. You know right. the organizations who are so keen on supporting women. So it's you'd know even before the year starts, you'd know in January this is going to be the trend yeah. because of a certain day or a UN day.
Yeah.
In February, this is going to be a trend and this is going to sell because of this. Even your seasons, your winter, your rain season,
okay.
it really determines the trend of that month
okay.
or that season.
Okay. It's yeah. very seasonal. It's self-determining. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So with almost every other business, they do have their staples. Tuck shops, they sell milk, they sell bread more than any other thing, and then they sell smokes, cigarettes, and things like those. So every business has its staple things that they sell more than any other things. What do you yes. sell more than any other thing? What is it that you would say, this is where I get my bread and butter every day? I sell this more than I sell every other thing. What would that be for your business?
I would say for my business, it's your corporate wear and gifts.
Yeah.
That is the, I would say that's my most selling point. Why? Because you can't wear maybe your jacket for 5 years.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to get old and you need to get another one. And a company is always getting new employees. People are leaving, people are getting in. That means okay. that group of people, yes, for a certain command that wears corporate wear,
right, they're going right.
to need to replace. Yes, because the thing with corporate wear really is putting your brand out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you are working with a jacket branded Bluemaker, people know this is Bluemaker. What do they do? Probably there's a tag of line on that jacket
right,
or t-shirt.
Right.
So it's some things, and especially with campaigns as well, they need be needing to give away t-shirts or caps or jackets. So it's the most selling point because one way or another, every company is going to be needing those.
Right.
Whether they like it or not. And then with your corporate gifts, our client, yes, their clients.
Okay.
So they need to be appreciating them maybe year end or on their birthdays or on certain
right,
days.
Right,
like
right.
say in March it's Women's Month. So you'd find a client would want to gift their women clients gifts.
Yeah.
So it's the highest selling point, yes.
Okay.
Because it's those things that they need almost every other day.
Yeah. So with your company, do you find that there are people who are threatening to outdo you? Do you have one company in Harare that is, well, a big competitor that you feel perhaps, oh, I need to fast and pray about those?
I would say in Harare, they are a whole lot of competitors.
Yeah.
A whole lot. So it's like I said earlier, it's really how you price your products.
Yeah.
How you relate with your clients, that's going to make you have an upper hand with okay. them.
So none of them.
Especially in terms of pricing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Especially in terms of pricing, because like I said, it's the same thing that we are providing, that we are offering to clients. So clients really would take the least. Because it's the same at the end of the day.
Of course.
So you need to be strategic about how you price. Of course, you won't know how the next competitor is going to charge their. But if you don't get an order this time, then you'd know probably it was because of pricing. The next time you're going to do better on that.
Okay. So,
I would say that a lot of competitors, it's just a matter of being strategic, really.
So,
and also the industry is a lot of clients.
Right.
It doesn't mean the clients that I'm servicing are the clients being serviced by the next competitor. Probably it's focusing on the motor industry, and I'm focusing maybe on the construction industry.
Right.
So it's really a whole lot, yes.
Yeah. So what would you say are the misconceptions, things that we people who are not business people, we don't know, the expectations versus the reality? What are some of the expected challenges you've faced? And how have you overcome them?
I think I would say the most difficult challenge faced is really competition.
Okay.
Probably when you're out there, you'd be thinking, I just get up and go to this client and pitch my idea, and they're going to like and buy my items.
Mm.
It's not really about that. Yes, of course, they need those things, but who are they going to offer?
Right.
Who are they going to award the order?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's about that. So you really need to tackle your seatbelt,
yes,
because it's a very competitive industry.
So you
really need to be consistent and to be so pushy.
Yeah.
Because with clients, you can't just call today and say, I'm offering you this and this and this. Then you go for the next 2 weeks without even checking with them, without even checking what they are thinking. Maybe they like your product, but it's something that they need clarity on, and they are busy people.
Right.
They won't call you to say, no, your jacket is looking like this, this, this. You need to be consistent and be so pushy.
Of course. So what would you do differently if you were to start again? If you were told you're going to be given a restart button to start all over again, what would you do differently?
Honestly speaking,
I
don't know what I would do differently.
Okay.
Yes. Because this is just a straightforward business. So it's just a matter of risk taking. Because if I say I'm going to do something differently, probably I'm going to say I'm going to wait until I have the money to purchase all the branding equipment. Where are you going to get the money?
Yeah.
It's not just going to come from nowhere. You're not going to just find an investor who's interested. So that risk is needed. You need to push and be able to fund yourself.
Yeah. And now we're talking about the equipment and all the branding equipment that you need. Perhaps you can put them for us in a scale of sorts. What would be your short-term plan? And what are your long-term goals?
Honestly, my long-term goals, the first one is to be... I would like to be one of the major suppliers in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Suppliers of suppliers.
Okay.
That is what I'm really aiming on.
That's long
term.
That
one is a very long-term goal. Yes, because like I said, there are major suppliers in South Africa for almost every person, almost every branding company. So I would really want to be a major supplier for suppliers in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
Yes, I really think it's something... It's somewhere that is lacking, that we are lacking in Zimbabwe. No one is really up for that as yet because we don't have a major supply in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
So that's my long-term goal, I would say.
And that goal, how much money would you need to fulfill that goal?
I think I would need millions of dollars.
Are those Zim dollars?
No, US dollars.
Okay.
Millions. But of course, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Of course.
You can't just wake up as a major supplier.
Right.
You start small and you'll be growing.
Yeah.
Until you reach a point where you want to get.
When you look at your growth prospects, how long do you think it will take for you to get to that stage of reaching that goal of being a supplier of suppliers? 5 years? 10 years? 50 years?
If I have the discipline, if I keep in on the right track, if I don't get swayed, I would say in 5 years' time, it's something that I would have managed to do.
Five years is around the corner. Okay, that's not too far.
So I need to stay focused.
Indeed,
I need to be content with my lifestyle for now.
Yeah.
And be focusing on the real deal.
Of course. Now tell us about your short-term plans, your goals for the short time. Between now and 5 years, what do you think you need to achieve?
Between now and 5 years, of course, we'd come back to the branding machinery or equipment.
Okay.
That is really something I need to be doing in, I think, less than 2-3 years.
Okay. And is that feasible?
Yes, it is feasible. Okay. It is feasible. You just need to be disciplined.
Yeah.
With money, yes.
So you have said you're disciplined, but now you're making a nice caveat there with money. Are you disciplined with money?
I am yet to find out, but I think I am. Honestly, I am yet to find out, but I think I am, because you know what? When you get the money, before you get the money, you'd be planning.
Yeah.
You'd be laying down your plans, of course, they come out so perfectly. But when you get the money, you start wanting the G-Wagon. You start wanting the double stories. You start wanting a lot of things. So I am hoping I remain in check.
Marilyn, it's been 4 years, right? And you don't know whether you're...
No, 4 years in the sales industry, being a sales person, not getting those huge monies. Sometimes they amaze you like that. So I've just been used to getting my little salary and pay my bills and buy my clothes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I haven't really been getting that much of it. So that's why I said, when you're getting less, you don't really need, I wouldn't say you don't really need to be disciplined, but I don't know if I'm, I don't know how to express this.
Okay.
But you don't really plan much or think much with just a salary that you pay your rent.
I hear you. That's all right. I hear you.
And the moment you start getting thousands, things start changing.
Okay.
Yes.
Of all of your experiences.
That's why I'm saying I hope I remain.
Yeah. I'm sure as a disciplined business person, I'm sure you'll find your footing and focus. Talk to me about your most satisfying moment. Was it about money? What was your most satisfying moment in your business?
The most satisfying moment really is knowing that clients do believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a new business, you are just... of course, you're 3-4 years old in terms of registration. Maybe you've serviced one or two clients back then. But then to start operating fully and clients to be trusting you with their orders for the first time, that is so satisfying, because they're believing that you can do this. We are trusting you with this. And it's so satisfying. It really motivates you to say, no, if clients can believe in me, I can get 10 more.
Okay.
So that is the most satisfying thing.
Now we're going to cross lines between your personal life and your business. Are you a person of faith?
I am a person of faith.
Okay. Does your faith have any role to play in your
business?
Too
much faith.
Okay. So when you say too much, what do you mean?
I'd say faith, the faith that is beyond faith.
Okay.
There is too much faith.
Okay.
Yes, because there are some things that I would just say, I don't know what's going to happen with this one.
Yeah.
But I have faith it's going to work.
Okay.
Yes. And so I would say I'm a person of too much faith.
What role does your faith play in your business?
It keeps me going.
Okay.
Even when you're seeing these days, business is very low.
Right.
I don't know how much sales we're going to make this month.
Yeah.
But I would say at the end of the day, everything happens for a reason.
Right.
Nothing is impossible. So it keeps me going.
Yeah. You know, I want to give you an example about me. When I arrived here at AWR, one of the things that I stumbled upon, it was not part of what my core work, but I stumbled upon the fact that every morning on Mondays, when I would come here early in the morning, they do prayers here at work. Something I've never seen. I've never seen that in the industry, in the media industry, because where I worked, it was a secular radio station. Now, when I came here to a Christian radio station, they prayed here. They had prayers at work. It was something that was so encouraging. It was something that was worth it for me. And I would always make it a point to be here on Mondays just to catch that moment of prayer. I don't know about you. Do you do things like those at your work, where you have consistent prayers at work?
Personally, on a personal note, I do pray every other time.
Yeah.
I don't really set a day or time.
Yeah.
Say this morning you need to have a prayer.
Yeah.
I just do encourage people to pray even when they're not at work.
Right.
Before you leave the house,
right,
you're praying for your day, you're praying for whatever you want to be done to be successful.
Yeah.
So I'm just really naturally a person who is praying, even for the things that you think they're very small for
yeah,
a prayer.
Yeah.
I do pray for those things. So I wouldn't really say I would set a time for prayer because I'm someone who's always praying.
Right. So yes. So what would you give as a word of advice to somebody who's listening right now, who's also considering to pursue their passion and start their own business? What would you say to that person?
All I can say to those people who are probably afraid to go out there and start their own thing. Firstly, I would ask a question to them. Oh. Are you content with your life right now?
Okay.
That's the first question.
Mm-hmm.
If you're content, it's fine. You can keep dragging. If you're not content, then... the world is out there.
Right.
The sky is the limit. You need to be focused and you need to take risks sometimes.
Yeah.
Even when you know this is a competitive industry.
Right,
but
right.
You know you can do it.
Oh.
If you have even thought about it in the first place, it means you can do it.
Yeah.
Because there are people who are so content with their salaries, they don't even think of selling even a sweet. They're just not entrepreneurs. So if you have thought about that idea, you can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay focused and follow your dream.
Yeah. Family, does your family support your work, your business?
They do. Right now, they even feel like I'm the millionaire.
Okay.
And I'm still growing.
Okay.
That's how supportive they are.
Right, right. Oh man, I pray that everyone who's listening gets the passion that you have and gets the success that you have. And now, as we part ways there, Marilyn, I do wish that perhaps you could share with us your favorite verse, a text that you believe perhaps can help somebody else who's listening there. I'll share with you the one that we opened with here on the show before we part ways, but I want you to give us your favorite text, one verse that you think perhaps would help whoever is listening right now.
My favorite verse is Matthew 6, 33.
Okay.
Yes. And it says, above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness.
Yeah.
And all these things will be added unto you.
Oh, man, Marilyn, that's
so it's
beautiful.
So putting his kingdom first and righteousness, and all things will just follow
you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lovely, lovely. Thank you very much, Marilyn. The one that we opened with on the show is, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. That's found in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. So as you were talking, it reminded me of this text, which is the one we're using for today. And I suppose you are perfectly in sync with our show today. Thank you ever so much, Marilyn. We really appreciate your
insights. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right. That's our guest for today, an entrepreneur for tonight, talking to us about her business. Very interesting story. If you're listening to it, a very encouraging, very motivating story. Our guest for tonight, who is the owner of Blue Miracle Investments, Marilyn Masaze. Thank you very much for coming through and talking to us. And have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Good night.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.